Look at Isaiah 42:16. Verse 16 in the prophecy of Isaiah from chapter 42:16. And somebody said, well, Pastor, you were there last week, weren't you? The last time you preached. Was it? Is that where I was? Verse 16. Brett preached last week. Well, I thought I'd go back there again and not repeating myself, I hope. But I thought I would look at the text again without those dog stories. That sound all right? I got carried away and told a bunch of dog stories, didn't I? Well, I'm trying to do without that and see what the prophet's got to say here. He said, our Lord said this. He said, our God said this. And he told me to tell you that he, God, will bring the blind by a way they did not know. He says, God said, I will lead them in paths they have not known. He said that the Lord said, I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. We sang that next to the last hymn a while ago by Robin Robinson. Heard a story about Robin Robinson years ago. Him and a lady that he did not know was riding in a public coach in England. And as the horse pulled that coach along to their destination, he heard that lady singing that hymn, that very hymn. And he said to her, he said, I'm the one that wrote that hymn. And she asked him a few questions. But he told her, yeah, he said, but I fell away from the Lord and was away some time from God after he'd saved me. And it was after that he had saved me and I fell away and came back that I wrote that hymn. So he knew something about this text, I guess, didn't he? God says, I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked places straight. These things will I do for them, and not forsake them. So Robinson is a good example. He's a good testimony in that hymn there that God does not utterly forsake his people, even though they may fall away. Some may fall away for some time. He's intent. He's absolutely intent on bringing his people to himself and joining his people to himself. And that's what this text is speaking about here. But think about the road along which the Lord is leading us. Think about that. I'm going to think about that a little while this morning. The road along which the Lord is leading us. Notice this again. Number one, he says, I will bring the blind as sinners, lost in sin, out there in darkness. If you know anything about being lost in sin, blinded by your sin, away in darkness, and all of a sudden a voice comes through the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you begin to hear the call, come unto me. Come unto me. Wherever you may be, that call is going to come. It's come to you if you've been called into the grace of God. Come unto me. Come unto me. And I'll give you peace. And I'll give you rest. Rest for your soul. You understand what he's talking about here. I'll bring the blind by a way they knew not. And he speaks of it in this text here as new to us. That's what this text is. This way that he brings us into is new to us who've been brought into the blessed way. It's the way he says that they knew not. Well, you know, the scripture says in Paul's words in the New Testament, in the second Corinthian letter, it says in verse number 17 that therefore, if any man be in Christ, if he be in Christ, if he's been called into Christ, into relationship with Christ, he's a new creature. A new creature. So the way got to be new, hadn't it? If we're going to follow Christ, it's got to be new to us. We don't know a thing in the world about it. We're ignorant of it. And yet he says, I'm going to bring you into it and lead you in that way. In that particular way. And he goes on to say, and says, all old things are passed away and all things become new. And that's so. And that's absolutely so. And Jesus saith unto this fellow over here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If any man comes to the Father, he's going to come by me. Got to do that, isn't he? Come by me. It'd be by the call of Christ that he comes to the Father. Some folks think you can bypass Christ and get to the Father. You can't do that. Can't do that. Not at all. I used to work with a fellow with Lockheed Aircraft years ago, black fellow. He and I were big buddies, and I talked to him every day. We worked side by side. He was a cable rigger, and I was an electrician. And we worked side by side on the old Learjet, the Jetstar. You know, we built 10 of those things over at Lockheed for Howard Hughes. And he let them corrode to the ground out on the tarmac out there. He just wanted them planes. He had plenty of money. He could bought them. Set his own security force up to watch those planes when they went down. But anyway, we worked on those planes. And we talked every day. And I talked to him. He said he was Roman Catholic. I don't think he was anything, really. But anyway, we talked about it. I tried to talk to him about coming to Christ, coming to God. Coming to God by Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father except by me. Tried to make that clear to him. He said, no. He says, there's another way. I said, no, there's not. It's not another way. I guarantee you that Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. He's the only mediator between God and man. Not another. Got to come to an understanding of that, you'll be lost forever. And I talked to him about that time and time again. Don't worry if you're paying attention to me or not. But at least I told him. At least I told him. And that's about all you can do in Gary. Just tell somebody. Tell somebody, and that's it. That's all you can do. Old theology teacher, I used to be so burdened for my brothers and my kinfolks, you know, after God saved me, I wanted to see every one of them saved. I did. I prayed for them and prayed for them, went to them. I was so bad about going to them and talking to them. If they saw me coming, they'd run and hide. They didn't want to see me. Didn't want to talk. But I kept trying. And I was talking to my old theology teacher, Brother Cobb. And I said, Brother Cobb, I'm so burdened for my people. I try to talk to them about the Lord. I said, well, they get where they avoid me when they see me coming. He said, Terry, he said, you don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to give the gospel to anybody but one time. He said, if you give the gospel clear to them one time, he says, not saying you don't have to, don't go and try to deal with them again, but he said, if you do it, give it to them clear one time, he says, every time they think about you, they're going to think about that time you come and talk to them about the Lord. He said, they can't get it out of their mind. It'll be there. And I think he was right. You know, we have to just keep hounding people. We have to keep running people off and running people off. Just tell them, if God puts it on your heart, tell them how a man must be saved. Got to come to Christ. Got to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the way. He makes that very clear. And I don't think he ever said that but one time, did he? In John chapter 14, he said it one time. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Think about that. So his way is the truth. It's the path of truth. And once you get in that way, you'll be bound to him by truth all the way to glory. You'll be walking with him by truth. You won't deny truth. It'll mean something to you. And so that's just seems like that's the way it is. Look over at Mark chapter 10. Just a good biblical story here for an illustration. Mark chapter 10. I like this. One of my favorite sections in the scripture. Mark chapter 10. Notice this here. Starting there in verse number. Let's begin there in verse number 46, I think it is, where it says, "And they came to Jericho." You know, I don't think he made but maybe one trip to Jericho. He called Zacchaeus out of that tree. And as he started out of Jericho, here's a fella that was sitting by the highway side named Bartimaeus. And he's begging for money. He's begging for alms. He got probably a little can or something, some kind of a vessel that he's collecting that money in. And that was his way of living. He couldn't see. Therefore, he had to beg for his living. And that's the way he did. And he heard this crowd kind of rustling as they approached him and heard somebody talking. And somebody said something about Jesus. Well, undoubtedly, he had heard about Jesus and heard about his healing. It says here, they came to Jericho. And as they went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, that is the blind son of Timaeus. That's what that word means there. Bar is son. The blind son of Timaeus. The son of Timaeus, it says, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. And this is what he said. Jesus, son, cried out. He wanted to make him hear him. He said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He knew that much about him. He knew he was the son of David, knew he was a man of mercy. He'd heard about his healing. And since some of the folks started trying to quiet him down, and they warned him. They said, be quiet. See that in verse 48, be quiet. If a man really wants to know Christ, wants to know the mercies of God through Christ, he's got to cry out and get his attention, hadn't he? And says, but he cried out the louder, the more. Son of David, he says, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still. Now, I've used this time and time again, trying to talk to sinners. I said, if you want to get the attention of the Lord Jesus Christ, If you truly want his attention and you're sincere about your soul, I said, all you have to do is cry one cry, have mercy upon me. And he'll stop still. You've got his attention. He'll listen to what you have to say. I wish we could get folks to realize that. It's no difficult thing to get the attention of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was in church years ago, and they had this thing about somebody said something about they want to be saved and get them into the what they call the altar. Man-made, that's a man-made deal, the altar. And he get them in the altar and get a crowd of folks around them. And they'd all go to screaming like a bunch of banshees, Indians. And screaming, praying for the salvation of this particular individual. Well, that wasn't necessary. I don't know where anybody realized that or not, but it wasn't necessary. I think my Lord Jesus heard my cry one night when I came home from my work at the aircraft plant. And I was under such conviction I couldn't go any further. The old boy that worked there with me in the plant and worked in the same department I did on his work table behind me had witnessed to me time and time again, had a Bible in his toolbox, and read me scripture over and over when I would argue against him. I would. I'd raise my hand up against him and question him. Question God. He just kept on, though. He'd catch me in my sin. He just called my attention to my sin. After a while, I was so convicted I couldn't go no further. That night I came home, and I fell down at the foot of my bed. Wife laying there asleep, and I began to cry out, "Lord God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Save this sinner. Save this sinner. Have mercy." And I believe that's where God saved me. There wasn't a crowd of folks around me, just the Lord Jesus was there. And he delivered me. I remember how my burden was lifted. Yeah, my burden was lifted. And he saved my soul from my sin. And that's just the way that was with me. That was the way the Lord relieved me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Don't tell him to go away. Don't tell him to be quiet. Tell him to come to me. Tell him to come to me. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer. Rise, he's calling you." And throwing aside his garment, that was a hindrance to him walking, as that outer garment that he's talking about here, he rose up and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni," he says, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way." Now what's that? "Go your way," he says. He says, "For immediately," I'm sorry, "go your way," he says, "for your faith hath made you well." And immediately he received his sight. And what did he do there? He followed Jesus. So his way was changed. It was a different way now. And it came with that blessed response of Jesus, the power of grace, when he gave him his sight. He says, "Now, go your way." But his way was with Jesus. He followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's what he's saying over here in this song, in this passage in Isaiah. He said to us, he said, "I'll, I'll bring the blind by a way they did not know. And that's so. It's a different way. It's a new way. They're new creatures in Christ Jesus, and the way is absolutely new. Everything's changed, right, Jason? Everything changes. Completely so. As you follow the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that text that I read to you and preached a little bit out of a while back, out of Revelation chapter 14, verse number 4. It says, these are the ones talking about his church, talking about Zion. He says, these are the ones who were not defiled with women. Now, talking about something here in a spiritual sense. He's talking about in through this context, you know, he's talking about the harlot church. Harlot church, old Babylon, the harlot church. And he says, and I think he's talking about the Roman Catholic system here. I think he does. I think that's what he's got in mind. And but he goes on and says, he says over there that she's the mother of harlots. These women here came out of her. It's these harlot churches. He goes on and says, these are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. What did Paul say over the Corinthian letter? He said to the Corinthians, I'll be spoused you to one husband as a virgin. That's Christ. He's talking about the church there. He goes on and says, these are the ones who follow the Lamb. Here it is, right here. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And I'll guarantee you, he's always in the way of truth. He said that. I am the way. I am the truth. I'm the life. Put it all together. Just put it all together. It goes together. There's not a lot of trouble in putting it together if you take your time. Put it together. Anyway, that's old Bartimaeus here. He's got a sight now, he can see. Jesus is going to lead him in the way of truth. And so there he goes. And I think he followed Jesus all the way to the end, which brought him into eternal, everlasting life. All that seems to go right together. Not a hard puzzle to put together, is it? Once God gives you the light, shows you the way. And so, he says in another translation, it's a good one, he says, I will bring the blind into the street that they know not. And I'll lead them, he says, into a footpath that they are ignorant in. That's so. So, I tell you what's the truth. I've had to have his help all the way through this thing. I've had to follow him, foot by foot, step by step, all the way through this Christian life. If not, I'd stumble. Sometime fall. If I didn't keep my attention upon where his foot had stepped before me, walking in every step in this footpath all the way to glory. Goes on and adds something else down here. He says, there's a dark and mysterious way this seems to be. He said here, I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them. Think about that. Remember now when Moses led Israel out of the Egyptian bondage and they crossed that Red Sea, and because of their rebellion, it brought this on them. God said, I'm going to make you one. They disbelieved the report of the spies, it had gone into the promised land. Only two of the spies who told the truth And yet they rejected their testimony of what they saw in the land, and the other, they sent 10 spies in, you remember? The other 8, they believed them. And that was disbelieving God. And God said, okay, I'm going to let you wander around in this wilderness for, was actually 38 years. We call it the 40 years of wilderness wandering. But they wandered around for 38 years in that darkness, that wilderness, awful wilderness. And, you know, Moses wrote that 90th Psalm and gives us an idea of what they were up against as they left in Egypt and went into that period of time, what they would face out there. Lions and young lions and adders and reptiles and dragons and all those creatures that he numbers over there, mentions over there, are all types of the devil, every one of them. Fit the devil's description. And that's what they'd be faced with. But God was merciful. You remember, God was merciful. And he gave them light by night and shade by day. You remember that? He gave them a pillar of light, a pillar of fire that lit up the camp at night. So that kept them in light. And he gave them a shade that they might not be smitten by the sun by day as he led them around in that wilderness wandering. And so it is with us. It is with God's people. He keeps us. He protects us. He keeps us in light in this old dark world. We've got this light right here, this book right here. This is light. And as we read and study this book, we find light for the way. And as we follow him, it doesn't lead us in or leave us in darkness. Because in darkness, it's a mysterious way. We don't know how to step, nor where to step, and how to get around this or that or the other. Path and arrow. The path and arrow is like walking on a rocky ledge, you know. You have to be very careful. Look over here at Psalm 23. Let's just read this. David's talking about the same thing over here in Psalm 23. He's talking to us here when he talks about himself and how God's blessed him. Look at this right here. Just a minute here. He says, the Lord's my shepherd. That's wonderful, isn't it? The Lord's my shepherd. He's the leader. Yes, sir. He's my shepherd, he says. And I shall not want. I won't be in need. He's going to take care of everything that I have need of. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That's refreshment. Sometimes you just need to rest a while and find refreshment. He leads me beside the still waters. You know, they say sheep won't drink out of running water, swift water. They got to have a little pool of water, still water. Quiet water. They're a little bit frantic, you know, about that rushing water. He says, he restores my soul, like he did Robin Robertson. Went away and he brings me back. He restores me. He's bound to bring his every last child of God to select in Christ Jesus. He's bound to bring that child from far off. Self. And if that child slips and falls and loses a way for a while, he'll fetch him again by some means. By some way, he'll fetch him again and bring him with him. He's not going to leave one behind. You know what? He leads me in paths, not broadways, but paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
What David was talking about so much in that 27th Psalm that we read this morning. Call to worship. He says, you anoint my head with oil. That's the Holy Spirit. My cup runs over. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Can't contain it. This runs over. Blessed be the Lord. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yeah. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then we'll forget the story on this text here and apply it to Brother Bill Downing out in San Jose, California, good friend of mine. And a missionary carved him out. A missionary carved him out, two little sheepdogs. Two little, similar to Australian shepherds. Carved those little dogs out and painted them beautiful. He set them on his table. Bill called those dogs goodness and mercy. Named them goodness and mercy. They shall follow me all the days of my life. And I was over in England several years back and preaching in a little church there about like this one in midweek service. The fellow asked me to bring a message and I preached. And I went to that text and used it made that in that old that story about Bill's sheepdogs and how what he named them. And I'd read somewhere, I guess, that those sheepdogs would follow you and follow those sheep. And then if they got out of the way, they'd round them up, herd them back to the nip at their heels, and nip and bite at their heels. There's an old gentleman in there said, there's one thing wrong, preacher, about your message. He said, sheepdogs never nip the heels of sheep. They're trained to make the sheep somewhat frantic of them and to beware of them, but they never, ever, ever nip or bite the sheep. And that's so. They herd them back into place. That's God, isn't it? That's the way God does us. And that's the way the Lord does us. So the way's dark and mysterious. And should it not be? Yeah, we see this in that psalm there. We see it in that psalm, Psalm 23. You know, another thing that makes this thing so graphic, so clear about these, how God's going to bring them, the blind. He's going to bring them by a way they knew not. And in a way that they were ignorant of and in a path that leads always to him. He inspired the old prophet Ezekiel to write this down. He says, you tell them now, for thus said the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. He's not going to leave it completely to me, the preacher, and to you, the witness. But he's going to make dead sure that it's done right, and he'll seek them out. His sheep now. Wherever they are, he's going to search them out and seek them out and bring them. That's a dead cinch. He's going to bring them to himself and bring them into the great fold. And so it is. Sure, he uses instruments of men and instruments of angels to fetch his people, wherever they may be, and attend them and direct them to the ones that must be called. Well, although the way by which we go be a way that we know not, but we shall be safely led in it. according to his care. The great shepherd of the sheep takes this work to be exclusively his, though. Exclusively his. According to what he said there through the prophet Ezekiel. And from the very beginning to the end. And one falls back, he'll go back and fetch him in. Make dead sure he gets there in the right way. I will bring them. I will lead them. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do to them, and not forsake them. Look over here at Psalm 91. I said Psalm 90 a while ago. Psalm 91 is the only psalm that Moses wrote, to my understanding. The only psalm that Moses wrote it for the sake of Israel as they were about to strike out in that journey to the promised land. And may be hindered a while and wander around in that wilderness for several years, but they're going to get to the promised land. He makes dead sure of that. He said in verse number 9 and 10. You got it there? Psalm 91, verse 9 and 10. He said, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, he says, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Boy, isn't that a good promise there? Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. He's your lodging place, your place of living. You live in the Lord. It's a daily thing, day and night. You're with the Lord. You're dwelling with Him. Abide in me and I in you, he says. And He'll bless you. You know what he says to us? He says, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. You know, I was reading Mr. Spurgeon's The Treasure of David on this, and he had a good little story in here about when that Asiatic cholera hit England in his day, and killing people right and left. I mean, people were dying, much worse than this pandemic that we've just experienced and still experience somewhat. Yeah, Mr. Spurgeon said this. He said, before expounding these texts, talking about verse 9 and 10, he says, I cannot refrain from a personal incident illustrating their power to soothe the heart. These verses here, when they are applied by the Holy Spirit. He says, in the year 1854, he says, when I had scarcely been in London 12 months, the neighborhood in which I labored was visited by Asiatic cholera. And my congregation suffered from its inroads. Family after family, he said, family after family, summoned me to the bedside of the smitten. And almost every day I was called to visit the grave. He said, I gave myself up and with a youthful ardor to the visitation of the sick, and was sent for from all corners of the district by persons of all ranks and religions. I became weary, he says, body and sick in heart. My friends seemed falling one by one. I felt or fancied that I was sickening like those around me. A little more work, he thought. and weeping, and would have laid me low among the rest. I felt that under it, God would have it. And I was returning mournfully home, he says, from a funeral. And he says, when curiosity led me to read a paper that was pasted in the window of a shoemaker's shop. And he said, I stopped to read that paper, and it did not look like a trade announcement. I knew that. Nor was it, he says, for it bore in a good, bold handwriting these words. And he gives us these words. He said, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. He says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. And he took this to heart, he said. He made this his personal, definitely his personal promise. He said the effect upon my heart was immediate. Faith appropriated the passage of her own, or as her own. I felt secure, refreshed, girt with immortality. I went on with my visitation of the dying in a calm and peaceful spirit. I felt no fear of evil and suffered no harm. The providence which moved the tradesman to place those verses in his window, I gratefully acknowledge, and in the remembrance of its marvelous power, I adore the Lord my God. He concluded his story, he says, in his exposition, the verses he concludes with, he says, it is impossible that any ill should happen to the man who is beloved of the Lord. The most crushing calamities can only shorten his journey and hasten him to his reward. Look at it that way. That's so. That's so. He says, ill to him is no ill, but only good in a mysterious form. Losses enrich him. Sickness is his medicine. Reproach is his honor. Death is his gain. In other words, Paul, death is his gain. No evil in the strict sense of the word can happen to him, for everything is overruled for good. Happy is he who is in such a case. He is secure where others are in peril. That's so. That's so. I'm trying to think about this all the way through this pandemic trial that we're in. He lives where others die. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. That's God's promise to us. Make God your habitation. Dwell in Christ. Live in Him. Walk in Him. Rejoice in Him. He'll lead us out. Agree with me? You agree with that? God bless you. God bless you. Rod, you got a song you want to lead us in?